peoples of the interwebs, 'tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
Whoop whoop! If you're new here, welcome. We talk about horror movies every other week. We just pick one, talk about the fun facts, talk about the plot, talk about our very, very opinionated takes on everything, because that's what we do here. Welcome.
We're very over-opinionated, horror-loving women.
Yes. Hell yeah.
And it's spooky season, so... For the month of October, slash the last weekend of September,
yep,
we are covering the Firefly trilogy, which is the House of a Thousand Corpses Rob Zombie trilogy.
Yes.
And this was recommended by my dad. Shout out to my dad. But we're going to cover all three of these movies, kind of like how we handled it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So... Let's do it. Let's get into it. I'm excited. Okay. I freaking love these movies. Okay, Kelly.
And I'll try and focus on just the first one, because we are going to talk about the second and third in their own episodes.
This one will primarily be the first one, as much as possible.
All right.
So, Kelly.
There's quite a big cast for this, because it's the Firefly family, and then all the other side characters. But,
Well, hit us with it.
Sid Haig, I think. He's Captain Spaulding.
Beautiful.
Bill Moseley is Otis.
A national treasure.
Sherry Moon Zombie is Baby.
She cute.
Karen Black is Mother Firefly.
Yeah.
Chris Hardwick is Jerry Goldsmith. Yeah. Aaron Daniels is Denise Willis. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Joyston is Mary Knowles. Mm-hmm. Rainn Wilson is Bill Hudley.
Woo!
I know. Such a trip to see him in this movie. Walton Goggins is Steve Nash. Tom Towles is Deputy George Wydell. Matthew McGrory is Tiny. Robert Allen Mooks is Rufus. Dennis Fimple is Grandpa Hugo. Harrison Young is Don Willis. William Bassett is Sheriff Frank Huston. Irwin Keyes is Ravelli. Michael J. Pollard is Stucky, and this is directed and written by Rob Zombie.
It's his very first movie.
Yeah, directorial and movie. Yeah, just debut.
His debut movie.
Yee.
So, let's get into it. So, this is taking place in 1977 on October 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So, the night before Halloween. So, we have a wonderful setup with Captain Spaulding talking to his pal, and he's like, oh my gosh, and they're shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And these two amateur criminals show up with their masks and guns, mm-hmm. and they're just like, trying to steal all the money at the gas station / horror museum, and they're like, give us all your money, and Captain Spaulding's like, no. And they're like, well, I'm gonna start shooting. He's like, fuck you. Or, fuck your mom.
Yep.
Fuck your sister. And then he's like, I hate clowns. And then that's a cue for Spaulding's BFFs to storm the place. They kill the other two, and he's like, and lastly, fuck you. And shoots him.
He also says, fuck your grandma.
Fuck your grandma. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is, it. Like, Christy kind of touched on, it's like a sideshow. It's one of those right off the highway, kind of weird, kind of kooky.
Touristy.
Yeah.
Shtick.
Yeah. Full of oddities.
Yeah. So, a horror museum of oddities, it's a gas station, and then it's also, like, a small, like, amusement ride, horror amusement ride, going through various serial killers over the several decades.
Yep.
So, we have that starting the movie and then title card and whatnot.
Yeah, there's like a, isn't there something about Dr. Wolfenstein with the, you see clips of a late night horror host mm-hmm. that they made up for the movie that just kind of adds, this movie's very trippy.
Oh yeah.
Very trippy. Use of negative a lot.
I mean, that was just Rob Zombie style back then.
And there's also these, like, sharp cuts to things that are happening simultaneously, that are happened at some point kind of off screen, that are also very jarring, though.
Yep. And the Dr. Wolfenstein, Rob Zombie was initially supposed to play him, but realized that he looked far too much like his everyday self, so had one of the producers be Dr. Wolfenstein, and he ended up doing a cameo as the hunchback assistant for that, which is amusing in and of itself.
Very.
So, that same night as that supposed armed robbery gone south for them. Four young adults stumble in, and they're trying to write this weird book about roadside attractions.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, you have, like, a haunt, like, a horror museum. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll write about this. And they're trying to ask him questions, and Spalding is, like, doing a lot of back and forth.
He's, mixed signals.
Yes. And that's the point of the character, is he's trying to make you on guard versus, and off guard. Like,
yeah.
Constantly
he
in
plays
that,
the
like,
line.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's fine. Oh, wait, there's something off. Oh, wait, no, he's fine again.
Yeah.
Like,
we can trust him. Well, maybe not. He's kind of scary. Oh, no, no, he's just joking. He's fine.
Yeah. So, he's like, oh, yeah, we got that. Well, we can, and they're like, get four tickets. So, they go back to the car, get their sleeping ladies. They're like, we're going to go do this. The Museum of Monsters and Mad Men. Let's go. And the girls, not into it. They're tired. They just want to go home.
Yeah, I completely understand.
So, they learn about Ed Gein, they learn about Albert Fish and Lizzie Borden, and then they learn the local legend of Dr. Satan. And how Dr. Satan was hung by a tree and then never found again, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the two, can't remember his name.
The one not Rainn Wilson.
Yeah. What was...
Steve.
Steve gets very interested in this local legend.
Dr. Satan!
And supposedly there's, yeah, like you said, this tree, and he wants to know where the tree is.
Yeah. So, Captain Spaulding makes a very crude map on a napkin. He's like, you go here, 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 and then go have fun.
Yeah.
But he also does the warning, like, oh, I would just leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
Very like, oh, this is your warning. Don't do it.
It's spooky.
It's spooky season.
Yeah.
So, as they are driving...
Oh, and as a quick side note, Denise? Which, yeah, Denise is the one that calls back home to let her know, let her dad know that they're gonna be late.
Yes.
Which is important.
Yes. And they're actual couples.
Yes.
That's important for, in a little bit. So, as they're driving, they see a hitchhiker. And... very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-like, which this whole movie is very loosely inspired.
Oh, like, yes.
You can imitating.
Yep.
They pick her up. Her name is Baby.
Mm-hmm.
She's very scantily clad, very blonde, very
Southern.
Southern ditzy.
Yeah.
And that's just her character. She's not dumb, but she is playing ditzy.
Yeah, she is.
And so she's like, oh, yeah, I just live a few miles away from the tree and everything like that. And very shortly after, something blows out their tire. We see that it's another dude who shoots their tire.
Yeah.
With a shotgun. And the group's like, oh, my gosh, our tire is blown out. What are we gonna do?
And it's absolutely pouring outside. Yeah.
And Baby's like, hey, my brother has a tow truck. We can come get it, and we can bring it back to the house. We're not that far.
Yeah.
So Baby takes Bill, who's Rainn Wilson, and they're like, we're going to go to the family house, and everybody else is going to stay in the car because it's raining.
Yeah.
It's downpouring.
Yep.
So Baby and Bill make it back to the house, and Rufus, Baby's half-brother, goes to pick them up and bring them back to the house.
Also known as RJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... during this scene, while Baby and Bill are just hanging out, watching TV in the living room, she is in, like, very tiny, like, little girl pajamas that obviously don't fit because they don't cover her ass or anything.
Yeah, yeah. She's risque.
She's risque, and she is definitely being flirtatious.
Oh, 100%.
Towards Bill. Steals his glasses, makes a comment of how the hot cocoa isn't the only tasty thing in the house.
Yeah.
Like, girl goes
on
strong.
Thick.
And Bill's just like, I have a girlfriend. Like, in his brain, you can just see, I have a girlfriend. I have a girlfriend. She's on her way. Don't do anything stupid.
Yep.
just sit here and drink the cocoa.
Yep.
Just accept the fact that you can't see very well because you don't have your glasses and then just sit here. So, Rufus scares the crap out of the rest of the three, but they're like, oh... It's the tow truck guy, and they all now are at the house. And they were told that their car will take several hours to
fix.
Repair.
Mm-hmm.
So, the mother shows up, Mama Firefly.
Yeah.
She shows up, and she's like, well, why don't y'all stay for dinner?
Yeah.
We're having our Halloween family dinner. And they're like, okay.
They can't really leave.
No. So, during the family dinner, we meet Tiny.
Yeah.
We have Mother Firefly and we have Baby, and we also meet Grandpa Hugo.
Yeah.
And then we also meet Baby's adopted brother, Otis. Which, this character I love.
I do too. I love this character in this movie. I'm going to preface that. I like who he is in this movie.
Okay. And we've already gotten hints with the, like, cutting back and forth.
They have cheerleaders, up to this point, yeah.
That, yes, there are 5 missing cheerleaders, mm-hmm. and Otis is responsible for holding them hostage and slowly murdering and torturing them.
Oh, yeah, horrible. Horrible stuff.
We find out at dinner that Tiny is deformed,
mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that he has severe burns from his father, who set him on fire, trying to purge the house of satanic influence.
And out of curiosity, is Tiny's dad the same as Baby's dad? Or is that a different dad?
I don't know. They don't really say, but I would assume that it says half-brother.
Okay, so then no.
In my notes. Okay. So, no. Yeah.
That's just important. I was just curious.
Yeah. I think Baby is the only one of Spaulding's kids.
Okay.
Everybody else is a half-brother or adopted.
Okay.
Mama Firefly got around.
I mean, she proud of it, though.
Yeah, she is. She owns it.
Yeah, she does.
She owns herself.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner is very interesting, also, the fact that they have to wear Halloween masks.
Yeah, and Grandpa does not know how to chew with his mouth closed.
No, him and those mashed potatoes are sloppy bitches.
Yeah, yucky.
That was, like, one of the only things in the entire movie that got you.
It was disgusting!
Like, this is one of the gorier movies we've covered. And the fact that you're just like, Grandpa eating mashed potatoes, I couldn't handle
it. It was everywhere. It was so gross. Yuck.
It was great. Your reaction was great. So, also, Grandpa brought Mama Firefly, like, a fetus in a jar.
And she's kissing it.
And she's like, oh, my baby. Like, it's a test tube baby.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange.
We have no context for it.
And the girls at this point, are like, we don't want to be here. But the boys are, like, kind of into it.
Well, Steve is trying to get information about Dr. Satan.
Yeah, and Grandpa's, I think both, like, of them kind of like Baby. Because Baby's very pretty.
Yeah.
She crazy. She's psycho.
Yeah.
But she pretty.
So, a little while through dinner, after a few Dr. Satan stories and, mm-hmm. and realizing what Tiny's all about and all that, we're treated to the Halloween show. It's yes! showtime! So, Grandpa has a stand-up comedy act where he's pretty much just screaming into the mic, screaming obscenities about the female genitals.
Which Steve was laughing at.
I don't know if he was trying, like, I don't know if he was actually laughing at it.
Like, just,
if
you're, like, trying to lighten the mood.
Try to lighten the mood or try to get through a sticky situation.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you piss them off, you know that they're already unhinged at this point.
Yeah.
That something's wrong. One foul move and you could be in a lot of trouble.
That's true. That's true.
So, whether he's actually laughing or trying to lighten the mood mm-hmm. or laughing nervously or actually being smart and...
Yeah.
Don't know, but yes, he is actively laughing. But that is just the opener to Betty Boop Baby.
Yeah, or Betty Davis Baby?
She's singing like Betty Boop.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, she's voicing, like, lip-syncing to Betty Boop.
Oh, is that who that was? I thought it was something else for some reason.
I thought it was Betty Boop. Mom had made a reference to Betty Boop when she passed through the living room.
Oh, she did.
During that
I
scene.
I can look real quick. Let me look it up. Keep going.
And she's all dolled up. She's got, like, her makeup on. She's got this silvery dress. She kind of looks like a ripoff version of Carrie going to prom.
Oh, she kind of does.
That's what I kind of got. That was the kind of vibe I got. And so as she's performing, she's getting all up in her audience's face, and she sits on Steve's lap.
Oh, it's Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, I thought she was pretending to be Betty Boop.
She probably was. Well, she crazy.
She crazy. She, which also then that makes sense as to why Steve later asks, like, answers her question, Marilyn Monroe, to her favorite actress before getting scalped.
Yes, and who became known as the Boop Boop-a-Doop girl. There I guess. First performed by Helen Kane.
Okay.
Who's that? And then 2 years later, a cartoon character named Betty Boop was modeled after Kane, who this original song was.
But so Marilyn, everybody is right.
Yeah, and then Marilyn Monroe must have done a cover of it at some point.
Yeah. All right, so we're both correct. Look at us.
Wow, jeez.
Look at us.
All right.
And Steve's lady is just, like, not having the fact that baby's all up on her dude.
I get it.
Pushes her off. And starts calling her a bitch and everything like that. Baby threatens to cut her tits off. As one does.
I mean, that's you just assaulted normal. Me. Yeah.
You pushed me down.
I have to cut your tits off.
Here's my knife.
Now. It's just how it works.
I'm going to kill you with my knife. It's named kindness.
Oh my god.
And right at that moment, Rufus comes in and he's like, the car's repaired. Okay. Immediately, those four...
out of there.
Out.
Say no more.
So they get out of there, and they're starting to drive. But they drive up to the gate, which is closed.
Yeah.
So the guys get out of the car to try to open up the gate,
mm-hmm.
and they are assaulted by
the scarecrows,
which we find out are Otis and Tiny.
Yeah.
And now everybody is captured. Like, are... kidnapped.
Yes, everybody.
Everybody's kidnapped. There
and
you go. There's my sentence.
Bill's
wow.
a little worse for wear.
Yeah, he dang got it the worst.
Yeah, I think Steve also got hit a couple times, but
Bill was out of the car first, which is yes. why he got beat up the most.
Yep.
And then Steve went out in retaliation, and it just took
a turn for the worst for yeah. these four.
Yeah. So the guys got knocked out, and then the women were obviously overpowered.
Yep.
So now it's the next morning, the next day.
Yeah.
Otis, we find out, has already killed Bill throughout the night.
Fish boy.
And has made him into fish boy. So they took the body of Rainn Wilson and slapped on a fish tail.
Which apparently is made after a Fiji, was it a Fiji monkey, I think, or something?
Yeah, it's a Carney sideshow attraction where they took the top half of a monkey and... attached it to
a fish.
So, and that is actually Rainn Wilson just sticking out of a prop. It's not a dummy. That is him.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's just him in a lot of makeup. Just
Fiji mermaid.
Gotcha.
That's what it's called.
And that is revealed to Mary, who's tied up in the room, being tormented by Otis, and
who
getting
is...
sexually assaulted as well.
Yeah, and she is. That was her boyfriend, correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
And then we cut to Denise, who's tied up on a bed in the basement,
mm-hmm.
Dressed up like a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Tiny going down to visit her and give her some cereal.
In his dog bowl.
Yeah.
Labeled Tiny.
Yeah. And you hated...
Oh, God, I hated this,
you
too.
Hated the way that Tiny ate his...
So Tiny takes his spoon and he dips it in. And instead of putting the spoon in his mouth, he just sticks it flat up against his mouth and just kind of...
Well, his prosthetic wouldn't allow him to open it, so that's yeah. as best as he could do.
It adds to the character very well.
It does, and I actually loved that.
Yeah, I think it's great. And he offers some of the cereal to Denise.
And unties her.
Yes, he does.
But when Denise tries to get away, Otis... re-catches her and throws her into the dungeon
yeah.
in the same room, and she's attacked and harassed mm-hmm. by some weird dungeon goblins, which we'll discuss later.
There's a lot of weird dungeon goblin stuff.
A lot of the people that are also involved with this family that are not actually part of the family, just under the house and the floorboards and all that, yeah. They're still alive. They're experiments.
Okay, okay.
So they've been brainwashed, tortured, lobotomized, whatever they did.
Yeah.
To fuck them up to the point of just being, like, rabid animal-like creatures. And then we also cut to, Steve, or, actually, I think his name is Jerry.
Is his name Jerry?
I don't remember.
Dude, I don't know. You might be right.
Oh, yeah, it is Jerry.
It's Jerry. I'm sorry we were calling him Steve.
Ignore Steve. Steve is actually Jerry. Jerry is scalped because he doesn't answer baby's favorite movie star question.
Yep, mm-hmm.
He says it's Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, as we now see, is a valid guess based on what he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He got it wrong, and, you know, baby didn't like that.
I can't remember who it was. Who was her favorite?
I don't remember who it was. Some other blonde actress, I believe. Now, he's still alive. He's just scalped.
Mm-hmm.
He's just missing his her.
Yeah.
So when Denise doesn't come home, her daddy gets a little worried. So he calls his buddies over at the police station.
Yep.
He's like, yo, my daughter and her buddies are missing. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to come home at, like, 11 o'clock last night.
They were last seen at Spalding's.
Yeah. Now, George and Steve, there we go, they find the abandoned car, which Dad is also going with.
Yes.
Which,
he's an ex-cop, I think they mentioned.
So, it's fair that he's assisting out of retirement a little bit.
And the abandoned car is in rough shape.
Yeah, the windows are smashed in, things are dented, doors are practically hanging on by, like, a few bolts, like, it's screwed up. And they find two of the dead, mutilated cheerleaders in the trunk.
Yeah, that says trick or treat.
Or one of the dead five. Yeah, it's
one of them, and it's got trick or treat
on his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these cheerleaders have been missing for over a week.
Yeah, and they're, of course, high school age, so they're all minors.
And so she's not very decomposed, so she's been... She's been through a lot in that week.
Yeah,
you know?
We get every... Every so often we got, like, little takeaways of what was happening to them, and it was all not good.
Yeah. Otis had... Actually, all of the Firefly family had their way with these girls.
Yes.
So they are going door-to-door.
Mm-hmm.
They make it to the Firefly house.
Hell yeah.
And the our main police officer, he's like, I'm gonna go talk to Mama Firefly.
Yeah.
So she invites him in, and the other two, Dad and I think Steve.
Yeah.
Are snooping around the back of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Where they shouldn't be snooping. So Mama Firefly is distracting, and she's like, oh, well, I haven't really seen these kids or anything like that. He hears something outside.
Mm-hmm.
Mama shoots him.
Yep.
And then we cut to outside. They find the barn where Denise is.
Yep.
And all the rest of the cheerleaders.
Very dead.
Are very dead.
But Denise is still alive.
But all the cheerleaders are dead. So, Otis shows up and executes them.
Yep.
So, even more to the kill count.
Oh, talk about a long pause.
Yeah, it was a 26 to 28 second pause.
Jesus.
Which, in movie...
It felt like an eternity.
It feels so long.
Yeah, it does.
But we see that Dad and the two cops are now dead.
Yep.
And now we gotta prep for Halloween, because it's Halloween night.
Of course.
Yes. So the three remaining teenagers... I guess they're teenagers.
Are they?
According to my notes.
All right.
Probably, like, seniors.
They're older. Like, they're at least driving age, so.
Yeah, I'd say probably senior year, and maybe they're writing...
Who knows?
...this book for, like, a senior project or something.
Well, they can't use teenagers anyway. That's why I thought they were older, so.
It's just in my notes. It's probably something that someone just put down when I copied and pasted the synopsis over.
Yep.
But I would say that they're young adults based on everything happening in this movie.
Yeah.
They are dressed as rabbits and are taken out to the abandoned well. Now,
yeah. Aren't they promising for them to see Dr. Satan on the way or something? Like, we're going to get to go meet Dr. Satan.
To Jerry, yeah. Otis. All the family has their Halloween costumes.
Oh, yes.
And they look great.
Yep.
But Otis has a very special Halloween costume.
He do.
He goes up to Denise wearing his own daddy skin suit.
Yeah.
And asks her, who's your daddy?
Because he's wearing her daddy!
Like his torso and his face.
Yeah,
And this disturbing. Beautiful cloak.
And then he must kiss her, because why not fuck her up worse than she already is?
Exactly. Torment. Yeah. Love it.
Yep.
Mary attempts to run away.
Yeah.
I say a great attempt.
Yeah.
And everybody's screaming, run, rabbit, run.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that on purpose. Oh, they enjoy hunting humans down on Halloween. The other two are put into a coffin and put down the well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're going to meet Dr. Satan.
Yeah. I thought this was like literally going to be buried alive, but that's not really what happens.
No. So all the experiments that we just mentioned, all the failed experiments, I should say, break open the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry is pulled away.
Jerry's not doing so hot.
No. He's
lost so much blood.
He got him. And we have like 6 or 7
mm-hmm.
failed experiments that are doing this.
Yeah.
Denise manages to get through a hallway and start finding her way out. Two other experiments rip off her bunny costume.
So strange.
So now she's just wearing a skirt and a
t-shirt. Looks kind of like what she was wearing. Like, it's another dress, kind of baby dollish again.
Yeah. Oh, I actually think it's one of the cheerleader outfits.
Is it? It could be.
I think
be.
It's one of the cheerleader outfits.
It could
outfits.
Be.
Because earlier on, Baby was imitating one of them.
Well, and she was in the barn with all the rest
Give
of them.
Give me a beat.
Yeah.
Give me a day. Yeah. Baby's cuckoo bananas.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And Denise is just screaming, and she's going through all these catacombs. We cut over to Mary, who then gets caught by Baby.
Eh ho ho ho.
And Baby's just like, I got you.
Yep.
Foreshadowing from earlier, I'm gonna stab you.
Oh, brutally stab.
Over and over and over again.
While laughing.
Oh, yeah. She has a very distinct laugh.
It's very, like, high-pitched and trilly kind of laugh. Yeah.
Very high-pitched mixed with, like, Valley Girl mixed
with,
like, baby doll.
Yeah, it's good. It's good as an actress thing. Yeah. It's good.
And Denise is now the only one that we're rooting for, quote-unquote.
I mean, I don't know about you. I rooted more for the Firefly family.
Oh, same.
So
that's why I did quotation marks.
Yeah, quote unquote.
She's the final girl we're supposed to root for.
Yeah.
And she's going through the catacombs. She runs into Dr. Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and his mutated gargantuan assistant.
I think they call him the professor.
Yes. And so now she's running away from him. He actually has a real axe.
Yes, he does.
And he could not see well.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's swinging, she has to duck right away.
Or she gonna get hurt.
Yeah. Thankfully,
no, she was not.
But, like, that'd be scary. Scary.
Yeah, dude.
And she's working her way through these catacombs, and she gets him knocked out because the walls collapse because he hit a low-bearing beam. And she survives that.
Yes, she does.
And claws her way literally out of the ground.
Very Evil Dead-esque.
It makes her way to the main road,
mm-hmm.
where we find Captain Spaulding driving around.
Yep.
And he's like, oh my gosh, get in, I'll take you to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
You look terrible.
Uh-huh.
And then, out of the backseat emerges Otis.
Bit of a jump scare, this did
me. And we cut with him bringing the knife down on Denise.
Well, and then it ends with her screaming in the chair with Dr. Satan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, the end?
Question mark?
Yeah. It's a great movie.
It's a very good movie.
A lot of cool makeup effects, too, because there's also a section where Otis changes from the daddy outfit to a full painted
face. Oh, it is so cool. He's
that was
so
gorgeous.
Cool.
Like, and his setting outfit? Stuff on fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Slay.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I
and in the set
movie.
And stuff, all of that, this was all done in practical effects. There were no digital effects mm-hmm. at all. Like, it's stunning. It is artistic in parts, but it is very good.
Yes. How about we do taglines quick?
Okay, taglines are the most shocking tale of carnage ever seen, the movie some never wanted you to see, which we can talk about that in a little bit, there's no turning back, true horror is back, you'll never get out alive, God bless this house, dare you enter, and life and death are meaningless and pain is God.
All good.
Yeah, all good.
So, I didn't mention what my favorite gore moment was.
Oh my god.
I'm torn between the very beginning scene where the robbers get shot,
mm-hmm.
because that's really good, yeah. or the scalping.
The scalping is well done.
I'm thinking the scalping is my favorite gore moment, mm-hmm. and overall scene is the very beginning.
Okay.
Just because I just love the...
No fish boy?
Fish boy's great, but, like, he's more like a prop.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
I like the action of, like, okay, you see a knife cutting something open and the blood is starting to pour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a good gore moment.
You didn't like Goopy Goop from The Professor?
It was fine, but I appreciate a good scalping.
Yep.
We don't get that very often.
No, we don't.
In our movies here. How about you? Did you have any favorite scenes, favorite moments?
I really like the aesthetic at the end when she's running through that hallway full of skeletons, and then she goes into Dr. Satan's, like, laboratory. That
while he's working!
Is so cool, and I think I went, yes, when I saw the professor, because his outfit is fucking rad. Like, yeah. he is, yes. Like, if something was coming at me in that getup in a haunted house, I'd fucking shit myself. Like, fabulously done.
Writes down for haunted.
No.
Our kill count is 14.
Jesus. Yeah.
Autumn cheerleaders, autumn police.
Mm-hmm. The four.
Yeah.
Because I would count Denise's dying.
Yep, she's dead.
Yeah, so.
We have quite a few dead people.
I mean, it is House of 1,000 Corpses.
You know what? I'm disappointed in this movie. I didn't get 1,000 corpses.
I mean, there are a lot of skeletons that could potentially be were corpses. I'm going to assume based on what they were doing that it
is. Well, on-screen kill, 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, this also has a lot of very hellbilly style, which is
yes.
Rob Zombie's very first solo album. And very Americano mixed with classic horror.
It is.
Because Rob Zombie was heavily inspired by old monster movies. Because mm-hmm. he always related to the monster rather than
yeah
what was happening around the monster.
It is very good. I think there's a lot to be said. Like, apparently there was a lot cut out of this movie for rating reasons. MPAA rating reasons. So that they wouldn't get an NC-17 and would get an R. Rob Zombie had a lot of things filmed. Two shots, one with blood and gore, one without, so that they could piece those things together.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's not too bad. Like, this could have been gorier.
I wish the gory edit was around. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's no existence of it.
Right.
Just so I can, because I'm a horror fan, but mm-hmm. also so I can compare.
Like, they are evil, and I get it, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but it just feels like they really built a whole... Like, a whole thing. It felt like its own haunted house, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate it.
Actually, you mentioned that. In 1999, Rob Zombie partnered with Universal to have a maze based off of his album called The Maze. The maze was originally called The World of Rob Zombie. And Rob Zombie had another idea for a maze,
mm-hmm.
which was House of 1,000 Corpses as the title.
Yeah.
And Universal's like, oh yeah. And he had to pitch this movie.
Yeah.
With no script,
mm-hmm.
just, oh yeah, this happened, and then this happens, and then all this happens. And Universal's like, yeah, here's $1,000,000. Make it. And he's like, okay.
And then he made it, and then the Universal had originally had a test screening for it and then pulled out and said it was not releasable and was a celebration of depravity.
They actually had several test screenings before they realized it. Someone on their production staff was like, oh, I should go see a screening so I know how to market this.
Yeah.
She went by herself.
Yeah, a chairwoman got involved, and, right?
Well, she went and she got physically ill and had to be driven home after the movie.
Okay.
The next morning, Universal called Rob Zombie in and they cut it.
Yes, so then he went to a couple of different places to try and get it picked up later.
He bought the rights back himself.
He had to, yes, in order to do that. And then eventually Lionsgate.
It's just a rarity that
he could afford that, too.
Well, and that the studio would even consider.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
So, yeah, Lionsgate
eventually picked it up,
mm-hmm.
which is why it was made in, like, 2000, but it didn't release until 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird, because, like, Universal was super gung-ho about it. Like you said, that whole haunted house,
even on, like, set a lot of the times. Yeah. They had to be to supervise, so...
They literally filmed it on the Universal backlots.
Clearly, they weren't paying attention.
Nope.
Or doing their jobs. I don't know. And for Universal, who were, like, for so long, the juggernauts of, like, the monster movies and stuff like that, and they have Halloween Horror Nights, and they have haunted house attractions
mm-hmm.
all throughout September and October. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then, for Universal to, like, 10-plus years later, twice,
mm-hmm.
have a haunted attraction dedicated to House of a Thousand Corpses, a movie that they dropped to just do that. At least Rob Zombie was cool with it, and he went through it, and he was just like, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's chill about it, but, like, if I was, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my opinion. See, I'm heavily opinionated.
Yeah, you're fine.
I just would be mad if someone was like, no, we're not doing all the hard work you just did.
Right.
But, oh, it became super successful? Well, we'll still claim it and just do a haunted house based off of it.
They did a haunted house based off of it before the movie was even released, too.
Well,
but they had to rename it because the movie wasn't out.
Correct.
I don't know about later.
But that's all mostly based off Rob Zombie's, like, music video
stuff.
Okay,
that makes sense.
And then they, in 2010 and 2019.
Yeah, I knew about those.
Is when they did the House of a Thousand Corpses. And they were like, oh, what?
I mean, more money.
And the whole cast went through it, so they saw, like, their counterparts.
Oh, that's weird.
And the counterparts didn't realize...
It was them?
Well, they didn't realize that they were coming through, so the person who played Spalding...
Yeah.
...came out to try and scare Spalding. He's like, oh, shit! And retreated right back. And and he was just like, that was the greatest moment of my life. So, alright, other fun facts. Baby's voiceovers for, like, if you gotta kill somebody, just kill, like, that.
Yeah.
Some of Otis torturing the cheerleaders and the chicken commercial were actually filmed after everything in Rob Zombie's basement.
Yeah.
With a 16mm camera on his own dime.
Apparently he, like, a lot of those weird negative shots that we see were done in that, like, that.
Yep.
Which is weird to me, but.
It's like 90% of his old music videos. As you walked in, and I was watching it, and you're just like, this is a vibe. I'm just like, this is a Rob Zombie
it's
vibe.
It's kind of acid trip. Really, that's kind of what it is.
I have the Firefly house. It was on the studio backlot and was originally mm-hmm. the house for Best Little Horror House in Texas, and also in the area where the Psycho house was.
Which is kind of cool. I still have to see Psycho.
We'll get there.
I had one, but I keep losing it. I keep thinking about it while you're talking, then I lose it by the time you're done.
Okay.
I'll remember at some point.
There is more than one instance where there are, like, missing young boy posters in the background, and those are Rob Zombie and his brother as kids.
Which is cute. I remember now. They made action figures of these guys, which is like, what? Okay. I wonder how much those are now.
Yeah. In an interview that I was watching, they said that they made their money back on the first night of release.
I believe that.
So they were doing a panel, and they were like, oh, so can you believe that this has grown in popularity since its release? And they're just like, mm-hmm. grown? We don't see that because we made our money back in the first night. What are you talking about, grown? It's been, like, consistently strong.
Oh my gosh. In the burial scene where they drop them into, basically it's like water. Mm-hmm. There's a recording that's played of Aleister Crowley, and it's repeating, "Bury me in a nameless grave," which is the opening line from his poem, The Poet, which was recorded in 1920.
Hell yeah.
I don't know much about Aleister Crowley.
That's too much to dive into here.
All right,
we've covered a little bit about him previously with the Necronomicon and all that, but, like, that dude has so much behind him. I couldn't just BS my way through a description right now if I tried. Otis's and Baby's bizarre rants throughout the movie and all that are supposed segments from home movies from the Charles Manson families.
Yeah, they're inspired by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. The robber's line about grease and paint and brains is in reference to the song Grease, Paint, and Monkey Brains by Rob Zombie's former band White Zombie.
So all the character names, which are, I'm sure they're kind of weird, they're all based off of the, characters in the Marx Brothers films. I'm not gonna go into it, they go more into that in the second movie, mm-hmm. but that is something that they did. It's very interesting.
That's all the fun facts that I really wanted to cover, because there's just so much on this movie that we could talk on and on, but those are the main ones that I wanted to talk about. Do you have any that you wanted to add on?
I have one more cute one that's kind of cute, but there was a...
It's cute!
It's cat. There was a joke among the cast and crew that this film would be rated W for wrong. Which I like.
That's amazing. I do have two reviews. I couldn't find any, like, really good ones, but...
That's surprising. This has a cult following.
I know. It's just I couldn't find any, like, super funny ones. But the two that I found that I kind of liked, a half-star review that I found.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't remember this episode of The Office. And then a three-star one is, "This is how I imagine the slightly racist white country girls with Bible passages on their Instagram bios at my university act when they get home."
Oh my gosh. You got some, like, unfulfilled rage.
Someone
there.
Has been wronged by,
yeah. Whoa.
A country girl that he went off.
Yeah, no kidding.
And only three stars, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's so odd.
Right? Somebody was just trying to, like,
yes.
project his emotions.
100%.
So, let's grade this shit.
So, Chrissy and I have 5 questions that we answer on a scale of 1 to 10 each. So, we have a total score of 50 each, 100 total. It's just a way for us to rank our horror movies that we watch. Some of it is opinionated. We try to be fair, but sometimes it's hard.
These questions are based on our opinions, and then we move on.
Yep.
Whatever lands, lands, and then if we need to debate against movies based on our scores,
yep,
we tend to do that. So, was it a good horror movie in our opinion?
7.
10.
It's good. I have other horror movies I like better. It's not my genre necessarily, but it is very good.
See, we're getting into my genre, which are the gruesome psychopaths.
Yeah, I don't know. We've seen a lot of those.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, getting into your genre. We've been in your genre.
I'm saying like, that this is my genre.
Yes.
Not getting into, but this is
my genre. Yes, it is.
How is the acting?
8.
I give it a 10. No, yeah, one really bothered
it's,
me.
It's good.
Special effects?
10.
10.
I mean, it's amazing. This looks amazing.
Compelling story, interesting twist?
6.
8.
I downgraded this one because it isn't original.
Okay. Okay.
It's not. It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre with a little spice.
That's fair. But the Dr. Satan is pretty twisty.
Yeah, but
he's that lemon twist that we crave in our water.
But he's not in it enough. It's a very loose connection to me.
Yeah. And then how was the character development and writing?
8.
9.
So my total score was a 39?
47.
For a total score of?
86. So this is putting it in between The Devil's Backbone from 2001 and Get Out from 2017.
Hell yeah! So obviously our next movie's pretty easy.
Yeah, we're covering the sequel, so we're covering The Devil's Rejects and then Three from Hell.
Yeah, Devil's Reject is 2005, and Three from Hell is 2019.
Yeah. So we had a big old gap.
Yeah, I'm very interested. I haven't done the research on those yet to know why that is, because I don't know.
I didn't want to do research on those before talking about this to have...
I also didn't have the time.
Fair. But yeah, so...
It is official spooky season.
It is, and we're kicking off with Bill Moseley, and I freaking love Bill Moseley.
I'm like literally thinking maybe pumpkin shake sometime soon, because
maybe also, Friday. Treat yourself on a Friday.
Yeah, the one problem about pumpkin shake is milk.
That's true.
And milk destroy me.
Yeah, it do. But, since it is spooky season,
yes.
Just a friendly reminder, if you go out to your haunts, be kind, courteous, and whatnot.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that you are paying for the experience, do not be assholes. Do not ruin it for your group. Do not just go around punching actors. If you're not scared, you're not scared. Just don't be an asshole.
If you're not scared your and fight you or don't flight, like it.
Your fight or flight does kick in.
Yeah.
We understand. If it's an accidental punch, we get it. We understand. We can brush that off. But if you are going in there intentionally swinging at our faces,
nope.
I know at least my haunt, you will be kicked off the premises and you will be fined and or arrested.
Yeah. Like,
just, it's common courtesy.
As I say, if you don't
follow the rules of your haunt.
If you don't like the haunt, don't support them the next year.
Yeah, don't go.
It's not the heart.
You paid to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I get
it. Baffling.
Like, I've paid for places and things I've disliked, but I just don't go again. Like,
exactly.
Are you gonna make a stink about it and give a bad review if that's really how you feel? But,
you know, with a haunted house, you know what you're getting yourself
into. Yeah, you should know.
You're going to be... spooked. You are going to be put in some uncomfortable positions. You're going to be...
And if you don't like that, don't go.
Exactly. Just go and have a good time. Just don't ruin it for your group, yourself, or the actors. And don't be destroying props either.
Oh, jeez.
Had people rip stuff off the walls.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've had people destroy set pieces, destroy walls.
What the heck? Why?
A lot of people spend all year creating this. Don't be a dick and destroy property.
Enjoy no touch. They don't touch you, you don't touch them.
Yes. Like I said, follow the rules of your haunt, because some haunts do...
Yeah, they do allow that.
...have a lot more interactive aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just my friendly reminder. You're going to hear it a couple more times, because my haunt season starts on Saturday, the day after this episode airs, mm-hmm. So that means that a lot of other haunted houses are open, so go start perusing.
Yep.
Let us know what haunted houses you've been to and which ones you liked.
Yes, do it.
Because I'm always curious, because I like that spooky shit. Give me that spooky shit.
Meanwhile, I'm over here, my basic shit over here. Fall slut.
You'll come visit me, though.
I likely will. I gotta talk to the guys
because you need your protectors.
I can't go by myself. I'm too scared.
It's a scared.
I'd be too scared.
Scared creepy.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else you want to plug?
I do not.
Then if you like our artwork as much as we do,
go visit my sister Danielle at Danny Draws Dragons on Instagram, and also listen to our episode on Annihilation, because she's a guest star on that.
And if you want to give us movie recommendations, give us some reviews, anything like that, you can join the conversation at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast on Facebook. We have a wonderful group over there.
Hell yeah.
And also on Twitter at Annerved. You can communicate, post on our wall. Yep. You can DM us over there. We'll see it.
Say hi.
Say hello. You can at Annerved. And then if you also want to come check out my spooky face,
because
I'll post all my haunt makeup and also be promoting the podcast as much as possible, you can go check out my Instagram at Lilith_Hilltopple. All the links that we just mentioned are going to be in the description below, as always.
Yep.
And in the meantime, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay extra spooky. Yes, get that extra pump of espresso spook in your system day, every day.
Yes. Make yourself some pumpkin balls.
It's our season, guys.
Go apple picking, drink some apple cider.
This is the season where all those basic bitches throughout the year are just like, you're acting super weird. And then they're like, oh, well, it's our season. Like, and they come to you for all that good adrenaline, and now mm-hmm. you are the friend that gets to plan all the spooky shit.
I also just like it for all the other fall things. Fall is wonderful.
I like all fall. All I fall. Like that fall colors.
I like the pumpkin, the scarves, apples, the leggings, the jeans, the sweaters.
My leather jackets can come out.
Yes! It's just so good.
It's being spicy.
It's got a certain smell in the air, and it smells good. It smells crispy.
Yeah, when it gets that cool crisp in the morning, like,
crispy. Yes! And then it's 100 degrees in the middle of the day, and then it's 60 degrees again at night, because that's how it works here.
Yeah, we Wisconsin.
Yeah, dude, it just, it can't pick.
We have bipolar weather.
We do.
We have whiplash.
Yeah, it's bad.
We leave the house in a sweater, we regret it halfway through the day.
Yep. And then we're sad. And then,
and then we change into shorts when we get home, and then we're cold.
Yep. Classic.
Classic. But anyways, we'll see you guys.
Yes.
In 2 weeks for the second episode of the Firefly Trilogy.
Woo! Woo-hoo. Bye!